Today is Friday, April 26th. The title for our devotional is Unity in the Spirit. Yesterday, we looked at Paul's theology of the church in Ephesians 2. He refers to this new multi-ethnic family of God as the temple in which the Holy Spirit dwells. Today, we turn our attention to Ephesians 4. Here in chapter 4, he begins to describe the new life that Christians should live in light of this reconciliation that God has brought them. So let's read Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The emphasis in this passage is clearly on the unity of the church, with the repeated use of the word one. Unity is an essential, primary way of walking in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called. Unity, then, is an essential component of life in Christ, along with and even resulting from humility, gentleness, patience, and love. Paul describes this unity as unity of the Spirit. As we saw in week 1 from Romans 8, all Christians have entered into the realm of the Spirit, as we've been talking about this week as well. The Father has brought us into His family through Christ, into the Spirit. We ought to be eager then to maintain this unity in the realm of the Spirit because of what God has done for us. In the rest of the letter, Paul will give the believers a lot of specific teaching on how to maintain this unity by valuing different gifts, ethical imperatives, his household regulations, spiritual warfare, etc. But here he can't help himself from launching into one more theological basis for this unity. He says there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. In keeping our focus on the Spirit, there is only one Spirit that believers receive, one Spirit who dwells within the community of believers. Therefore, we have all entered into this singular realm of the Spirit. This, as we have discovered this week, is a major part of the basis for Christian unity. If we are all in the Spirit, and the Spirit of God dwells among us in the church community, we will certainly be unified. God, through Christ, has brought us into unity as the people of God. We should be eager to maintain it. This challenges the petty fights that we often experience in the church that threaten our unity and ruin our peace. Leaders unwilling to hear feedback on their initiatives. Members unwilling to reconcile after a minor offense. Leaving a church over political differences. Not liking the style of music or other pastors' preaching. I can go on with the list, right? Of course, there are good reasons to disrupt a false peace in a church community and even to leave a church. I'm not talking about those. For example, the attempts to cover up sexual abuse at the hands of a pastor or ministry leader in the name of keeping unity are misguided at best and demonic at worst. Leaving a church community over something like this is certainly justifiable. However, the majority of church transfers are not for these reasons. Ultimately, the petty differences and squabbles that we have in the church don't reveal to the world that we are in the one Spirit. The unity that we are to share in the community of believers is so deep that it is described as being in God Himself, in the Spirit. I once heard Russell Moore say in a podcast that if the gospel is what really unites us, we won't be divided over these secondary and tertiary beliefs and practices. To reframe that slightly, if we are truly united in the Spirit, we won't be divided over these petty differences. Now, later in the letter, the Apostle Paul will exhort the Ephesian believers to be filled with the Spirit. He explains what that looks like by describing corporate singing and giving thanks to God. This is why we sing so much in church and why it is an important communal experience of the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:18-20, we read, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Reflection time today. This leads us to reflect on our expectations in a church community. What do we expect the church to do for us, and what do we expect to do in the church? Of course, this unity is to be experienced in believers all over the globe, but it is to be reflected primarily in the local gathering of believers. Do we view one another at LifeBridge as those who dwell within the realm of the one Spirit? Are we eager to pursue unity in that? Are we reflecting the bond of peace, not the absence of conflict alone, but the state of everything being as it should be? Again, as Christians, we should be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.